Don't mind us, we're playing through. Here's Froggy, Brian Golf, and Wacker.
It's another edition of the Playing Through podcast. This is the Masters recap. It is in the books. The most overhyped Masters in years. We're going to get to the fact that it live up to all the hype. It's Froggy, at Froggy Radio on Twitter. The at Playthrough Golf podcast. If you're on Twitter, give us a follow. Here with Brian Golf in the studio today.
Yep.
And Brian Wacker was on the phone because Brian Wacker's been at the Masters all week.
Morning, boys.
Good morning. So did you get your feel of pimento cheese sandwiches and other good food items?
Listen, I'll tell you a quick story, not to bore everybody. But it was sort of a dare. So my first Masters, which was 10 years ago, I had a pimento cheese sandwich every single day for 7 straight days.
Wow.
Haven't even touched one since.
So are they
That's
good?
All the pimento cheese I need. It's okay. It's not my thing. A lot of people say it's changed. The recipe is different. And that was starting in about 2013. People started to notice a little bit of a difference in the way it's made. So it's a highly guarded recipe, though, so who knows. But, Masters in the books, Patrick Reed, in one of the, just sort of the wildest Masters for all sorts of reasons that we've seen in recent years.
Yeah, I mean, did this live, there was a lot of hype between Tiger, and if you remember, we talked about Tiger, we talked about Dustin, we talked about Justin, we talked about Bubba, we talked about Phil. We talked about so many different people, but we didn't really talk a lot about Patrick Reed. And now here we are, a first-time winner. But you were there yesterday, Wacker, and I saw a tweet of yours that said it wasn't like the crowd was just pulling for Rory in that final group. You said it actually felt like they were pulling against Patrick Reed, and they were open and vocal about it.
Yeah, it was a strange vibe from the standpoint of, look, you go back to the Ryder Cup, of course, everybody remembers the match Patrick and Rory had there. And, of course, people are pulling for Patrick, playing for the U.S. and on home soil and so forth. But you're right. Look, Rory is such a popular player around there that it seemed like everybody, especially early on, was really pulling for him. And there was this vibe that, sort of, as the more you talk to people, nobody wanted to see Patrick Reed win. It was strange. People were openly saying, look, I'd rather see Rory win, or I don't want to see Patrick win. It's very strange. Patrick is obviously a hell of a player. Look, that goes unquestioned.
But very polarizing. Like this, it seems like there's you're not either middle of the road. You're either against or for him.
Well, it all goes back to when he won the WGC at Trump, back in the day when he said he's a top five player. And it's like, dude, we just found out who you are.
So many stories coming out of the Masters.
The leaderboard was everything we wanted to be. I look up at one point and every single name that we would want to be on there was on there other than Tiger Woods.
Right. I mean, really was
full. I was just like unbelievable. So just going down at Patrick Reed, obviously first, Ricky Fowler solo second, Spieth solo third, Rahm solo fourth. Just right there, you're like, holy crap, that's the future of golf. Like right there, top four in the Masters. Then you go down, Bubba Watson's name, Henrik Stenson, Rory McIlroy, obviously, a disappointing T5. Leishman, Finau, DJ, Hoffman, Rose, Ushazen, rounding out the top 15, as well as, I guess, a cool story for me just because of the Jacksonville ties, and he's a friend. He won the Zurich Classic with one of my buddies last year, Cameron Smith, getting in there, getting a top five finish, which, top 12 in ties secures you for next year. So really, really cool and interesting for me. One of the best Masters Sundays that I can remember. It lived up to everything I wanted it to be, minus my pick and my goat. Yeah. I even wore my goat.
You did.
My Asher Golf goat t-shirt. It was sad to see him do what he did. It seemed like, maybe pressure got to him, whatever it was.
Well, he said he didn't hit his irons well, and that
he
was
hit
pretty
him
apparent.
Like, shit.
I mean, I could see it
so
from,
bad.
If you remember, so let's see, on Thursday he started out, he drove it left into the trees. And he hooked an iron up there, made a nice long lag putt, made par. Then he gets to two. The first time we're going to see the driver, bombs at 351 down the gut. has 220 in and completely misses the green right. Yeah. That's when it started. The irons were just not crisp. Wacker, you were there on site. Did you notice anything different about Tiger? Did his demeanor seem different? You were at the Valspar. You were at Bay Hill. Mm-hmm. You've seen the good finishes. Did anything seem amiss with him?
Well, I think you touched on all of it. He had issues with the driver on occasion. He had issues with the irons on occasion. And he had issues with the putter. And, look, due respect, you know, Innisbrook and Bay Hill are not Augusta National. And those tournaments are not major championships. There's a big, big difference between those events and contending there and getting in the mix in a major championship. So, to me, I expected him to play a little bit better than what we saw, but, you know, just nothing was going his way. And look, we have to remember, this is a tournament for all the success there, four green jackets. He hasn't won there since 2005. That's 13 years. That's a long time. There have been some changes, you know, to the course over that time, some subtle, most of those changes subtle, but it doesn't take much there for a subtle change or a small tweak to have a big impact. And look, that first hole, you mentioned it, that's always been a nemesis for Tiger throughout his career, even during the dominant years, just didn't have it. And I think that's kind of my point with Tiger that I've tried to sort of make, is that let's see where this goes from a consistency standpoint. Sure, can he contend in a tournament? We've seen that, yes. He's even played some golf that shows he's capable of winning a tournament. But we have to remember, he hasn't won a tournament in 5 years. There's pressure that goes along with that. We all know how much the major championships, how important those are to him and sort of how he measures himself in that regard. So, of course, there's pressure when he shows up at Augusta National, a place that he hasn't won since 2005. He hasn't won anywhere since 2013. You know, everyone's sort of expecting him to win, or at least hyped. You know, there's so much hype about it. He was trying to be patient about it, which I think he's done a good job of. But look, you know, at this point in his career, 42 years old, the consistency is the thing that, you know, I think you have to wonder about, because, sure, he can put it together for a round or a week, but can he put it together in consecutive weeks?
Right. You know, watching his final round yesterday, he hit 15 of 18 greens, 11 of 14 fairways, 32 putts. So he had a decent round yesterday, but, you know, one has really been a nemesis. So on Thursday, he misses the fairway. He makes par. Now, if you remember, Friday and Saturday, he hit driver in the middle of the fairway both days and missed the green from right around 100 yards both days. That's what's odd, is that the wedge game, the iron game, seemed to be just slightly off. Now, when will we see Tiger again? There's been talk that possibly we would see him at the Zurich Classic in New Orleans, but I think that seems probably not likely, because the week after that, we've got Charlotte at the Wells Fargo, which we know he generally plays, and the week after that is the Players. I don't see him playing 3 weeks in a row. Agree?
I think the Zurich Classic's interesting just because it's a team event now. I want to know who he's going to play with.
Right.
Two, you know,
Phil, he could team with Phil.
That would be unbelievable.
That really
right?
would be.
Remember when we saw that one year at the Ryder Cup? It was amazing.
Worked out well.
He needs to team up with somebody like Jim Furyk, somebody that's, you know, going to keep him in play. Because if Tiger, team event would be great. Sadly, if he gets his first win back,
it's not an official event.
There's an asterisk. It's official. You get, you know, you get the same deal other than a Masters invitation, which he obviously doesn't need.
Right.
You pretty much get everything else that you get. My whole thing with it is, you know, it's going to have an asterisk on it. But Tiger could really benefit from that. The confidence of, hey, I really don't have to play my best on every single hole. Like, I can fuck up once or twice and be in this.
He says generally he puts the clubs away for a while after the Masters. He said the run-up to this event was pretty hard, pretty grueling. He pushed himself to get ready. It just didn't work out. If you remember, he did an interview with Tom Rinaldi on, I believe it was Wednesday, and Tom asked him, what are your expectations? He said, a win. He said, is there no equivocation? He said, okay, fine, a green jacket. He really thought he could win. I think that he played really well in his practice rounds. All we heard all week long were the practice rounds were phenomenal. Fred Couples was saying how amazing it was. Phil said how great it was. It was just a lot of buildup, and I wonder if the pressure just finally got to him a little
bit. So different. It's so different when you're talking about those practice rounds, because everyone was talking about how he was basically piping drivers. Oh, you only missed one fairway today. Or, oh, you missed two fairways today.
His driver was not terrible this week.
You know, it wasn't, but if you look on Thursday, he was all over the place.
Right.
I mean, he didn't hit a good drive on number 13 until yesterday, really.
Right, correct.
You know? It's the first time he actually hit a drive where he could take advantage and score on 13, which you've got to eat that hole. You've got to eat, take care of the par fives, and he didn't do that at all.
So now he's up to number 88 in the world rankings.
Pretty good.
We were as low as almost 1,300 when he started the comeback in the Bahamas late last year. We're now up to number 88 in the world. And so you ask yourself, when you see number 88, who are the guys he's ahead of? So just a few notable names that Tiger has now surpassed. At number 88, he's ahead of Jamie Lovemark, Martin Kaymer, Billy Horschel, Lucas Glover, Wesley Bryan, J.B. Holmes, Lee Westwood, and George Cotsi, just to name people that are in the top 100 who he is just ahead of, and he is on the tail of Bo Hostler. So still... Wacker, would you agree this comeback is still a success because now we've worked our way back into the top 100 in the world?
I don't even look at it from that standpoint. World rankings to me, a lot of that in terms of his result had to do with the fact that he wasn't playing. So that is almost meaningless to me. I just think the fact that he's back playing, healthy, has shown some flashes of being able to contend. Obviously, at a couple tournaments this year. Look, never in contention at the Masters, but, that's going to happen. I mean, I just think at 42 years old and where he's at with his career at this point, you talked about it at the top. Who's the names at the top of that leaderboard are all guys that have played better this year and played better, obviously, this week. So, I think it's a successful comeback from the standpoint of he continues to play. There's been no real issues health-wise that we know of. He's had a couple of good tournaments and just built from there. So, I think overall a success in terms of the comeback is just playing the whole year and maybe contending a few times, which we've seen him do a couple of times so far. So, yeah, so far so good.
All right, so we've got Patrick Reed is off the list of guys without a major, and I want to ask both of you guys this. So our next first-time major winner, I've got three names here, and if I'm missing a name, then add a name or tell me who you think. Between Fowler, John Rahm, and Hideki Matsuyama, who do you think is our next first-time winner, and who's the best player on tour right now that does not have a major? Brian Golf.
Ricky Fowler. I'm not saying this because I'm a big Ricky fan. I'm saying this because he has the game to do it, and the next major happens to be at Shinnecock.
Shinnecock Hills.
He's going to Shinnecock Hills on Father's Day weekend. Ricky Fowler is my early prediction for the W, okay?
All right,
he loves that golf course. He said it's one of his favorites. He just said his quote today that I'm seeing, from him at the Masters was simply, he's ready to win a major. He didn't realize that until this week.
Right, and that's fine. And I've got a thought on Ricky in a second at the Masters. I've got a thought on that. I'm going to pause real quick. I want to get Wacker's thoughts on Wacker. Who is the next first-time major winner, and who is the best player on tour without a major?
Ricky might win one first, but I'm going to go out to the limb and say it's John Rahm. He's got all the skills, and he's a shot maker, great touch around the greens. Obviously, hits it a mile off the tee.
He's got a very good command of the F-word.
Yeah, great command of that. Relishes, the moment and is a lot like Jordan Spieth in that he's sort of a big moment kind of guy. I mean, he's up to, what, number two or three in the world. Ricky's certainly has the talent to win a major. I think he'll win a major, maybe even multiple majors. But I see something in Rahm that, you don't see in a lot of players, and that's just this ability to kind of deliver in the moment. He's going to have to rein in, his temper a bit.
Right.
We've seen it quite, I almost saw him
on 15 yesterday.
Destroy a wedge on Sunday after a bad shot. But look, I think he's got all the game in the world and all the talent and the belief and, and ability is under the gun, because that's where you really find out what these guys are capable of. I think he can he'll pull it off.
All right, so speaking of Ricky Fowler, and I like Ricky Fowler. Let me definitely make that clear before I say what I'm about to say. I'm a huge Ricky fan. I like Ricky. I would love to see Ricky win a major. But when you said yesterday he didn't choke, he didn't have the opportunity to choke yesterday because he was never in the lead. Ricky was five back, not a lot of pressure on him, played very well. I will take nothing away from Ricky, played very well. I just think that for Ricky to win a major in Wacker, tell me if you agree with this, I think Ricky's best case scenario to win is to come from behind where he's not exactly expected to win and he doesn't have the pressure of sleeping on an overnight lead and being expected to close it out. He comes back like he did at the Players from way back where there's not a lot of pressure. He can take chances, play lights out like he did yesterday. Yesterday he played extremely well because he was able to take every chance that he had. He rolled in that birdie in 18 and was hoping Patrick would make a bogey on the last hole and get into a playoff. Do you agree with those sentiments, Wacker?
I do. I think you covered it all, really. Look, he's a terrific player, and he's a terrific guy, really. I mean, I think all of us would agree that we, you know, we're in some respect fans of him and fans of his game. But there are some, you know, some moments, there are quite a few that we've seen now where he's been in position to win tournaments or win a major or however you want to put it, where he hasn't really delivered in that when the heat's been on. And you start doing that enough, and it's going to get in your head, and it's going to kind of affect your confidence. I think you mentioned, you nailed it when you talked about the Players' Championship coming from way back. Look, take nothing away from that. That was a fantastic round of golf. But it's a different feel when you're coming from five, six, seven back versus when you're the guy at the top of the board.
Right.
We even saw it with Patrick Reed on Sunday, quite frankly. You know, look, he made some big shots when he had to, but there were some nervy moments where you thought early on in that round it might go the other way. And then, of course, Rory McIlroy misses the eagle putt on two badly and misses some other putts and some other shots. And Patrick kind of steadies himself throughout the round and makes a few key shots and so forth, where we just haven't seen Ricky really do that in the heat of a major or even in the heat of many tournaments. So, look, I think he'll win a major, but I agree with you. I think his best chance is coming from behind, four, five, six back, or, you know, maybe being one or two back or just sort of having other people sort of mess up around him.
Right.
Like Sergio last year, with no disrespect, it was a fantastic performance by him all week. But, you know, Justin Rose had a putt to win on the 72nd hole, and he missed it. And it was a very makeable putt. So I agree with you.
Yeah, so Ricky Fowler up to number six in the world. The world rankings out this morning. We've got Dustin Johnson stayed the same. Justin Thomas stayed in second. Jordan Spieth jumps to third. John Rahm in fourth. Rose in fifth, Ricky in sixth, Rory McIlroy is in seventh, Hideki in eighth, Brooks Koepka in ninth, and Sergio Garcia, who put about 17 balls in the water on Thursday, rounds out your top 10.
We've made it this far without talking about what could have been the biggest story coming out of the Masters, and that's Jordan Spieth's round yesterday.
It really was a fabulous round.
I cannot believe what I was watching. I was on at one point, obviously, I don't root against anybody. I wasn't one of those people that was like, my wife and my father-in-law were rooting against Reed because they're like, he's cocky, he's an asshat.
Right, right.
Where I'm like, no. All right, I'm not, this guy almost single-handedly won us, you know, the Ryder Cup at one point, right. You know, or the President's Cup, you know, in his day. Maybe not so much the President's Cup because we kind of dominate that. But
right.
My whole thing with it was, I wasn't rooting against him. I was definitely, though, wanting to see the story between Rory and Ricky. And then all of a sudden, as we get to like number 10, 11, 12, and then,
you know, just kept creeping up. Jordan just kept making birdies.
Makes the bird on 12, and I'm going, this could be the greatest comeback and one of the biggest stories to ever, because he could have shot 62.
Yeah.
Nobody's ever done it. Nobody's ever shot 63 on Sunday. But that tee shot on 18, my God.
But he didn't. So, Wacker, what was the feeling around Augusta National as he's making that run?
It was incredible. Roars from all over the place, including in the media center, which is at the back of the driving range. And it was amazing. It was, I think you nailed it, Brian. Look, if he had shot 62, he wins that tournament. And it goes down as the greatest final round in major championship history. You know, of course, there's Miller with a 63 at Oakmont to win there. But this would have been unbelievably 62. Nobody's ever shot that in the final round of a major to win. And, boy, you know, it's hard to nitpick a 64 because that was a really, really good round of golf. But I got to think that Jordan is going to remember those putts on 13 and 18. And that's going to leave a little sour taste in his mouth because those were putts that were certainly makeable. Of course, that it would have been an eagle on 13, with very reminiscent, by the way, of Phil Mickelson.
Oh, yeah.
Shot off the pine straw there. And like Phil, Jordan missed the putt. Look, not an easy putt, but certainly could have made that. And, of course, you go back to 18 and gets in trouble off the tee, but then has a look at it and couldn't quite close it out. But, boy, what a charge that was. And that really put some electricity into it because, you know, Rory, I think, which so many people expected, you know, and even Patrick talked about this, you know, he heard the noise. Like, he was aware of people expecting Rory to just go out there and steamroll everybody. And the fact that he didn't and disappeared pretty quickly, just never got it together. You know, Jordan really puts a jolt in that tournament late. Ricky, of course, making that run late, but you really felt like, I think a lot of people felt like Jordan, that's a special place for him. Unbelievable, unbelievable atmosphere late on Sunday. Look, the Masters always delivers that way. I can think of very few times where it hasn't. You get to that back nine on Sunday, and boy, it is
so
unbelievable,
true. Electric. Well, wrapping up as far as my thoughts on the Masters, awesome to see Patrick Reed win. Awesome to see everyone that was involved down the stretch. Sad to see Tiger Woods do what Tiger Woods did, especially because he was playing so well. And for his irons, which is one of his strong points, to fail him was disappointing.
It was.
And then Rory McIlroy, we haven't really talked a lot of it because so many other positive storylines, it's hard to really like take out a negative. But after he made that par on one, stuffs it on two, misses the eagle putt, you're just going, that putt right there could have changed the entire day at the Masters, but it was one for the books, and I'm like so stoked that I watched literally every bit of it from, you know, once the moment coverage came on to the end. It was a great tournament.
Yeah, I mean, I'm disappointed in the way Tiger finished as well, but I keep trying to keep it in perspective that 8 months ago, he couldn't get out of bed. The past couple of years, he's only shown up to eat there to attend the champions dinner. And they even said he was in bad shape. And so here we are, getting able to watch him play golf again is a treat. And so I'm happy with that. Congratulations to Patrick Reed. It's no secret that I'm not the biggest Jordan Spieth fan in the world, but I must give credit to Jordan Spieth on that amazing final round. I would like to see Ricky get a major. And it was a great Masters. I don't feel it lived all the way up to the hype that we gave it. I feel like maybe it came just a little short, but I don't know what it possibly could have done short of Tiger winning to live up to the hype.
Yeah.
But a great week. This week we move on to
Hilton Head.
RBC Heritage at Hilton Head Harbor Town.
It's a great course.
Will you be there at that tournament, or are you headed back to South Florida, Wacker?
I'm heading to the golf course to decompress here in outside of Atlanta at Reynolds Plantation, a couple of days of golf, R&R, and then get right back to it. And we'll be talking to some guests. I know we've got some exciting guests coming up, and, you know, here we go. We'll just go on, and we've got the Players' Championship coming up in about a month. And,
my jam.
Away we go for busy golf season.
Cool. Yeah. I don't feel like Wacker on the golf course playing golf the way he probably golfs. I can't really comment. I don't feel like that's decompressing.
Right. No, I don't think it is either, because he does get a little upset. He's got a little John Rahm command of the F word every now and then. Just a little bit. Right, Wacker?
You know, lately I'm in a good place. Swing's in a good place. It's just, you know, it's a great vibe here with some colleagues and friends.
Nice.
And, yeah, it's, look, it's, it was incredible Masters, but yeah, now it's time to switch off for a little bit.
Awesome. We'll see you guys very soon later this week. We got some big guests lined up on the podcast. We will talk to you very soon.
I think you've had enough.
Playing through.
No. Now you've had enough.
With Froggy, Brian Golf, and Wacker.
Oh, bitch.